Tonight I want to look at two portions. I want to look a little bit in the Mark reading and then a little bit in the First Kings reading. I'm going to start off in Mark. So if you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 6, I want to start at verse 29. We all know this story of when John the Baptist was executed. So I'll start reading in verse 29. When his disciples heard about this, they came and took away the body and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while." For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And when they went away in a boat to a lonely place by themselves, and the people saw them going, and many recognized them, and they ran there together on foot from all the cities, and got there ahead of them. And when they went ashore, they saw a great multitude, and he felt compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. So Jesus leaves this area with a few close friends to go to a lonely or a quiet place, quite obviously to mourn the death of John the Baptist that had just happened. But right at this tragic point, the multitudes come to him and they're looking for teachings. Now me personally at this point, I probably wouldn't be feeling too good. And then to have the multitude come and pester me would probably been a bit too much. But for Jesus, it wasn't. He took the opportunity and were introduced to that incredible word that we find in verse 34, where it says, "And he felt compassion." And that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes. That word compassion here is a special word. It means more than just a surface compassion. It's a guttural or a deep compassion, one coming from right in your organs. The word's only used 9 times in the entire Bible, and every time it's by Jesus himself. 3 of them he used in parables, and the other 6, he was moved with compassion. We'll just take a quick look at a few of these, and some of the times they were used. The first time that it's used is in Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 36. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36 says, "And seeing the multitude, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd." Jesus saw the people and felt compassion for them because they were distressed like sheep without a shepherd. There's a real good lesson for us there, and it comes for us in verse 37 where it says, "And he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest.'" We are those workers, and we have the entire world to harvest. We don't have time to procrastinate, because when the harvest time is over, we don't get any more chances, and neither does anyone else. The first time that word compassion is used in a parable is found in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 27. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 27 says, "And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt." Now we all know this story of the debtor that was forgiven much but couldn't forgive a little. But in the verse 27, his Lord feels compassion for him and forgives him a lot. And then once again, the lesson for us is plainly stated in verse 32, where it says, "Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all debt because you entreated me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave, even as I have had mercy on you?' And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that he owed. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each one of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Our compassion and our forgiveness has to be genuine, not just a begrudging thing. We also have another parable, the parable of the Samaritan, which is found in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 33 says, saying, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered. Did I get that right? No, I got Mark. Luke chapter 10, not Mark, and verse 33. But a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Here we find that it's a stranger that had that compassion and helped the man. It didn't have to be the Jews as we would have expected. It didn't have to be someone that we knew. It was a stranger. We're told to show this kind of compassion to all men. If we read just down a couple of verses in verse 36 and 37, it says, which of these three do you think that proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy towards him. And Jesus said, go and do the same. We're instructed to do that to all men, that deep compassion. And the last one that I want to look at from this word compassion is found in Luke chapter 15 and verse 20. And this is the story of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15 and verse 20 says, and he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. It's kind of interesting that it's only after his son had made the first step that his father helped him. Once he had turned home, in verse 20, he saw him a long way off and ran to him, and it was then that he felt the compassion for him and helped him along. This is also such a good lesson for us, that when we are down, we need to start the process of getting back up again by ourselves, because God has to have something to work with. God doesn't work for us, he works with us. We have to start that. So on a slightly different subject now, let's turn over to 1 Kings chapter 6. The other night, my dad came to me and asked me why I thought the stones of the site, this is talking about Solomon when he's going to build the house of the Lord, the temple. And he asked me why I thought the stones weren't cut on the building site, and I had no idea. But he informed me, and I've tried to write it down as best I can. Solomon's temple is a type of the kingdom. Jesus was the chief cornerstone, as we find in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20 to 22, which is a really good verse. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, Having built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Once Jesus has returned to set up his kingdom, and we are called, then we are, as it were, a stone on a cart heading towards that temple. We'll be placed in our position that was set up for us, and if we don't fit, then we're useless and we'll be thrown away. We need to take the time that we have in the quarry, which is our lives, and use it to knock the corners off and to shape us, and not only us, but each other or everyone around us, so that when our master builder, that chief cornerstone, returns, We'll all fit together. We'll all fit into that place that is set apart for us and build the temple of the living God. Thanks.